Hello everybody, it's Travis here from Everything and Nothing. Haven't spoken to y'all in a minute. Well, I guess it's a minute. I know I haven't recorded in a minute. I don't know if I've uploaded anything in a minute though. I don't know. I just don't know. I don't know. But we're here. Welcome. Whenever you hear this, most likely it'll be on a Sunday. That's what I'm trying to stick to now. But anyway, this will be a little everything and nothing random thoughts. I had nothing in particular because it's so much going on and I just have thoughts on everything. So for the first time in a long time, I'm really going to just be on here to play it by ear and whatever I want to speak about, I will. So, I'm just going to take it from there. Something I did want to talk about, though, which is not that serious, but was super fun and exciting to me, was award season. Yeah, I tried to make it a habit of watching every movie that was nominated for Best Picture at the Oscars this year. It was like 10 movies, I think. I got halfway through the list. I watched The Holdovers. I watched Poor Things, which was so amazing. Every movie I watched was really good. I watched Oppenheimer, finally. I seen Barbie months before it was nominated. So I had seen that. I seen Anatomy of a Fall. And those were it. Yeah, I didn't get to the other half, like The Zone of Interest, and what was it? I did better than last year, I know that. I didn't get to see much of anything last year, except, yeah. Oh, and I saw Killers of the Flower Moon, too. So, yeah, those were, that's more than I thought. So, yeah, that was almost half of the movies that was nominated this year that I got to see, which was amazing. You know, Killers of the Flower Moon is an interesting movie because when I was watching it, I wasn't aware until almost halfway through it that we were following a pattern. Like, it really threw me for a loop because it took me a while to catch on as to what was happening in regards to, I don't want to spoil it, but it's like, Leo's character, Matt Molly, look, I forgot his name, but I remember her. But Leo's character met her, right? And I got the whole thing of his uncle wanting him to, like, get in good with her because they had money and whatnot. What I didn't get, though, was it took me a while to catch on to whether he knew what they were doing or not. Like, I wasn't sure if he was in on it. It felt like he, at first, was just being dumb and letting them use him. And then, but not knowing what they were doing. And then, about halfway through, it became more clear that he is letting them use him, but he does know what's going on. It was like a very nuanced thing when the tide started to turn. And it was very interesting to see whether he knew what was going on or not. It was a very good way to play his character. Like, it wasn't straight to the point about where his loyalties lied, because you could see at a certain point it got conflicting for him, but the way he played it, you always wasn't sure. Like, you were never sure which way he was going to go, even when you found out what he knew and that he knew what was going on, but you still didn't know what direction he was going to go in. It was very interesting how they played that. And I just kept wondering this whole movie through, like, so I just swore up and down that they were going to kill him next. Like, his uncle is going to kill him because, not uncles, but his uncle is going to kill him because he's like he was not dumb, but he was just like in the way and messing things up. Like, it wasn't going how they planned it. And then, yeah, so So that whole thing was very interesting. And then Anatomy of a Fall was really good because you never know where was going on with that, like where that movie was going and whether she was involved or not. And it made it very ambiguous, which I liked. Although I walked away thinking that she was innocent and that she, well, I won't say innocent, but she was not guilty of, you know, doing that to her husband. I don't believe that she, the filmmaker said, or the writer, Justine Triet, I think her name is, I think she said somewhere, I heard at least, that she tried to make it ambiguous. But watching the movie, it felt like pretty clear to me that she was, you know, not guilty of that. But her, Sandra Hüller, her performance made it very ambiguous. Like, you never knew whether she was telling the truth or not. But in the writing, it started to become clear in the story that she possibly was innocent. That the story was more clear about that than Sandra's performance was. Her performance made you guess more than the script did. Because I was looking at her and the way she was acting towards stuff, and I was just like, I'm not sure. You know, she could be one of those women who don't show it in their face how evil or capable of bad things, but you can't see it. You know, because throughout the whole movie, she didn't seem in her face like she could do something like that or like get that mad at him. But then there were other moments where you weren't sure, because it's like, well, what if that's what she wants you to see? What if she doesn't have a face where it's like, I'm mad and I'm angry? What if she's like looking sad and aloof the whole time, and that's how she always looks when she is mad? Or, you know, I don't know. So like, her performance was really good because that kept me guessing more than the story did. The story was, I was following like how they were treating her and how horrible it was and how they already made up their minds about her. But her performance to me was kind of giving me, could she or could she not? Yeah, so I like Anatomy of a Fall. The Holdovers was such a wholesome movie. It's so wholesome. I loved everybody's performance. I could watch that movie over and over again. It's going to be one of those movies that I come back to a lot. It reminds me of a movie that takes place, well, it took place in the, I think, 70s or 80s. But it reminds me of a movie that actually came out in the time it was created, if that makes sense. Yeah, that's, I love that movie. But yeah, Oscar season, I could go on about all the movies that were nominated that I saw, but, you know. I mean, I can. Why not? Let's go to Oppenheimer. All right, I finally watched Oppenheimer, and it was incredible. It didn't feel as long as it was. I was interested the whole time. I called that editing win at the Oscars because I was like, the way this movie is edited is what keeps the pace going, because this movie could have got very monotonous in the way it was telling the story about him and what he was doing. And I always thought that I wouldn't be interested in watching it because of that. Because I'm like, I don't want to see how this happened. It doesn't make for an interesting story to me. But oh my gosh, I was so wrong. I was so wrong, because the pace kept going. It was exciting to see. Killian was killing it. It was very, like, it piqued my interest in this whole topic of, what was it? He is physicist, or like all that interested me a whole lot more after I was done watching it. And then everybody was in this damn movie. I mean, oh my goodness, everybody. I'm trying to think about who I saw, who I start with first. Well, Josh Peck keeps coming in my mind. He was in it. And then you had, of course, Josh Hartnett, and so many other familiar faces who I don't know by name right now, but by face. I thought Emily Blunt was way better than people were saying she was. I really liked her in this. She seemed very, this movie felt like against type for her. Like, this was not something that I would normally thought she would, a role that I would normally think she'd play. I knew she had it in her to do stuff like this, but no one thinks of giving her these kinds of roles. She never has, like, she was more than just the wife, you know? She elevated that part for real. Like, she could, anybody could have just played this and phoned it in. And, but no, Emily Blunt really killed that role. So yeah, that was Oppenheimer. I'm gonna watch it again. I loved all the flashes in between scenes and how they jump between timelines. That was very interesting. I like how they also made Killian like really young looking at first, and then how he like kind of grew into his age, or like they really did a good job at that, making him look more youthful in his younger days at the beginning. What movie I saw after that? Oh, Poor Things was just so beautiful. And Emma Stone, oh my goodness, she was better than I expected. I knew she was going to be great, but just, and she was like, I can't believe I ever thought I would see Emma like nude and like this in a movie. I was like, she is just letting it all hang out, y'all. It was just all out there. I'm like, oh, Emma Stone, oh, the cover of the cootie, oh my goodness. And I mean, everything was just, I'm like, oh, she had to be really comfortable on set to do this, to just be all out there like that. I that's very brave to me. I don't know if I could do that if I was out. I mean, and this is something I want to do, but I don't know if I could. I'm lying. I would. I could let that out there like that. I could, if the role called for it. But it was just so weird to see her like that. I never expected her to be like open to doing like that kind of nudity. But her performance was so great. And at the beginning of the award season, I thought she would win from just the clips I saw. I was like, oh yeah, she's taking this. And then I was like, okay, I think Lily's gonna take it. And I changed my mind. I said, it's gonna be Lily. And it was Emma. Cause I was like, she won't get her second Oscar like this soon, only a few years after La La Land. I'm like, no, they won't do that, will they? But doggone it, they did. So, congratulations to Emma. Lily Gladstone would have made history, but you know, there's always a next time for that. She's a first-time nominee. I don't think that this will be her only time winning. You know, what if she ended up being like Linda Jackson and just sweeping two Oscars in the next couple years and then just bouncing and never doing another movie again? I can't see her doing that, but you know, who knows? It feels like she really likes the work. So I could see her not doing anything maybe this high profile. I don't think, it's very interesting to see where she's going to go from here. Because I can't see her doing a movie like this again with this much eyes on it. But I also can't, I mean, I could see her doing this type of character maybe. But a big budget movie again, it would have to be something that meant a lot to her and something that she was interested in story-wise. It couldn't be something, I'm just assuming, it couldn't be something that was like big box office and big franchise and all that. I can't see her, she could probably do that, but I can't see her doing that. I think she wants to do, you know, something more subdued and low-key than that. Yeah. So those are all my thoughts on the Oscars. I'm very upset The Color Purple didn't win anything, but I am happy that they won at the NAACP Awards. They basically kind of swept that show from what I hear. I didn't watch it because I was sick, so I couldn't watch that award show, but I watched the clips afterwards. I couldn't do anything. I was sick during that weekend. Yeah, which was recently, yeah. Was it last weekend? Oh, no, I don't remember. But yeah, I couldn't do anything. I was sick, so I couldn't watch that. So, how about that Trump, huh? Let's pivot real quick. I won't spend much time on him. I do want to say, however, Lord, I don't know what to say about this man. I got a thought, but it's like, I got so many thoughts. One thought I will say about Trump is that I don't think he likes being president. I've never thought he likes being president. I think he just wanted to win. When he first got elected, I say this to everybody who will listen, the first time he won and was elected, it didn't look like he was happy to win. When he gave his speech after winning the first time, he didn't look too excited about it. I think he just wanted to prove a point that he could do it. I don't think he actually wanted the job, though. And, you know, I think he loved the perks. I mean, who's not going to love the perks, right? I think he loved the perks, but I don't think he liked the job. I do not think he liked the job. You have to take on a lot of criticism from all sides when you're the president. And Trump don't like that. He wants everybody to like him. He wants so bad to be liked. He doesn't like being criticized. So it's kind of odd that it doesn't line up with his personality that he wants to be president. I think for him, the pros outweigh the cons. But him not being liked and him being criticized, that's a big con for him. So the fact that he's even, you know, trying to pursue this again, it's really not because he wants to do the job. He doesn't. He just wants to be the man in charge. It's like a big ego stroke for him, in my opinion. And, so maybe he'll win, maybe he doesn't. Won't. I mean, I don't know. It's too early to say if he'll win or not. But, I mean, I would hope not. I mean, people don't like Biden, right? Some people don't like Biden, right? You know, Biden's not the most charming, charismatic guy, but he's sensible and, for the most part, it makes sense, and he has more experience. And I know people who like Trump like the fact that Trump is kind of anti-establishment, so you would say. But I don't see where being anti-establishment has gotten us anywhere good, just like being establishment. Like, none of it has gotten us anywhere good, in my opinion. But I feel like the person who would try to make a difference for everyone would be Biden. I don't feel like Trump would do that. I feel like he would say that. But history, prior to him even being president, history in his career and his businesses and his life and what we know about him prior, has proven to be the opposite of that. He doesn't really care about everybody. And he doesn't. I believe that Biden does, and that he would attempt at least to try to do what he could for everybody. I think he is more of an honest man in character. And I don't believe Trump is. I think Trump is interested in being bootlicked and loved by everybody, but not really wanting to show loyalty to anybody, but demanding it from others. That's what he gives me. So, take what you will from that. I just hope people here in this country at least will make their voice heard either way, but especially in our local elections, because all the legislation that goes on locally is the things that really should matter to us. The big election, I guess it could trickle down, but what goes on in our community and those who work for us in our community, those are the ones we need to be voting in and out. If they don't do a good job, or keep them if they do a good job, those are the people we need to focus more on. The big election, yeah, sure. But the local elections, all that it should be, you know how low the percentage is of people who vote in local elections? I knew it, but I don't remember it. But when I heard it, I was like, that's not even half the people. And like, the communities here and stuff, or any community, like, We don't vote in local elections. And those are the people who make most of the decisions in our daily lives. And we don't vote for any of them like that. I'm like, we need to focus more on that. That's where the money is. And when I say money, I mean like, that's where the change is. If you want some change, vote in your local elections. Because those are the people who really make the day-to-day decisions for you that affect you directly. And once I got hip to that, I said, okay. Because I was one of those folks, too, who just said, I'm going to vote for the president, and I'm going to leave all the other stuff alone, because I don't know anything about that, even though I'm, like, in my city, in my town, but I don't know shit about none of the people running for, you know, local governing seats and all that. I don't know. I didn't know none of that. I'm like, I just want to vote for president. And it's like, no, Dodo. I mean, do you know who your city mayor is? Do you know who your governor is? Do you know what they stand for? And it's like, a little bit. So I had to hit myself in the head and go, well, you need to get more informed on all that, because that's where the change happens. So, yeah, that's my thoughts on politics and Trump and whatnot. Let's jump to music real quick. So, there's a lot of people who I listen to and love who have released albums this year, and already 2024 to me is a better year of music than last year. I mean, we have Beyonce coming with Coach Carter. I'll tell myself, Coach Carter. All right, Samuel. Coach Carter. No, Cowboy Carter. Carter. Oh my gosh, Travis, get it right. Cowboy Carter is coming. And and I'm going to be honest. I wasn't excited about it at first until Beyonce made a post. Well, I won't say it earlier today. Well, when you hear this, it won't be today. But she made it earlier today. Yeah, man. I think that, I like it. I like the idea behind it, what she was talking about. I believe, and it caused so much conversation, but Beyonce can't breathe. It's more than just, oh, I want to criticize Beyonce. No one's saying she's above criticism, because all artists are. But it's a little different with her, especially when it comes to the online discourse. It's like, no one's saying you can't not like her. No one. I mean, I don't care if you like her or not. A lot of other beehive do, but I don't give a fuck if you don't like her. Shit, I love her. I don't care what you think. You know what I'm saying? But a lot of other fans are like, how dare you hate on the queen? How dare you say this about her? Like, shut up. Everybody ain't gonna like your fave. Like, get on somewhere. It's not that serious. So I get people being like, y'all do too much for her. I get that part of it. But when, you know what I'm saying? So, but when it comes to like nothing she does, or anything she does, rather, it becomes a little too much when people start criticizing things that don't need criticizing. And it's not even criticism at this point. It gets to looking like vitriol for no reason. It's really hard to watch that. It's like, okay, now criticize her and take her to task on, you know, if you must, about her artistic choices, about her own music. If you must do that with research and facts and, I guess, a sound of mind. Like, you know, do it with sense, I guess. But when it just comes to that bitch, just this and that, she did, and it's like, it becomes to a point where it's like, that's not needed. But yeah, she's coming out with the album. And Justin Timberlake came out this year, and Usher came out this year, and Ariana Grande came out this year. I have not listened to Ariana Grande's album yet. I really liked Justin Timberlake's album, even though everybody's supposed to hate him now. I don't know what that's about. Well, I didn't know what it's about, but yeah. And then Usher's album. I'm going to say I liked Justin's album better than Usher's, and I hate saying that because I like Usher better as an artist. But I like a few songs on Usher's album. I do, but as a whole, I can't listen to it all the way through and feel like it feels uneven to me in certain points, and it just feels kind of jumbled together a little bit. I feel like it's a little too long. It was more, and that's the thing. Justin's album is not short, but it feels more like a creative endeavor. It feels more thoughtful. It feels more like Justin had more of a plan going into it. I don't feel like Usher had any direction really when he was going into making this album. It was just like, give me some hot joints and some, you know, good shit and maybe a few samples on some stuff or stuff, you know. And so he got an album full of songs that feel like singles but not album songs. Like, it feels like it's an album full of singles that don't all go together or fit together, which about 7 or 8 of them are really good, and the rest could have just been left alone. Like, I love Ruin. I love that. I really like Margiela. Yeah, but on Justin's, I can listen to Justin's album, and I'm like, I get what he's doing. I get where he's going. It was like, Justin has his own sound because he's like really honed in and works well with his producers who he works with. I did not look at the liner notes, so I don't know who he worked with on this album. But I do know he usually works with Timbaland and Pharrell. And it sounds like he worked with Timbaland on this. I don't really pick up any Pharrell sounds, like any Neptune sounds. But he could have worked with them too. I mean, he's not gonna work with too many people outside of the Neptunes and Timbaland, so he could have probably worked with them. But whoever he worked with really created a sound that's his, yet funky, but yet modern. It's like he melded all the genres into one, and still, but it still sounds like a Justin Timberlake album. That's the thing. Coming Home doesn't sound like an Usher album. It sounds like almost like an Usher mixtape or something. It's weird. But I listened to Ariana Grande's album, and I have to listen to it was somebody else who came out with an album. Hozier came out with an album. Yeah, so I got some albums to listen to, but I will say that this year, it already feels like a better year for music than last year. I know Slut Pop is not an album, but I love Kim Petras. Well, I guess Slut Pop could be an album. I really like Slut Pop Miami. I do. It's like so tongue-in-cheek, but at the same time, like, so serious. Like, it's so funny and kind of ridiculous. Like, but it also sounds good. But, like, it's so vulgar at the same time. It's like, this shit is funny, but, like, sounds good. Like, you really want to go to the club and dance to the... But, like songs like Whalecock, like... or, like, Cubana. I love Cubana. Like, it's just fun to sing and say that shit out loud. Like, well, cock. Or like, are you ready for a rim job? Like, who says that? That's so funny. I love Kim Petras. Okay. But yeah, who else coming out with something? I don't know who's coming out. Who else coming out with something? But yeah, that's where we stand on music. I know Bryson Tiller got something coming out. Normani's coming out with something. But yeah, who's out now? I like Nicki's album too. I like some songs on it. I have listened to the whole thing again. I don't really like the whole thing that much. But there are songs on it that I do like. It's just. I don't know who else has an album. But we'll get there. I'll just come back and, you know, add my two cents on whoever. I mean, in terms of new songs, I do like What by Cardi. I like that. I like that. Oh, I like Chris Brown's album too. Wait, was that this year? Or last year? Anyway, I like his album a lot. That's an album I would listen to over and over again. I've been listening to 1111 a lot. And his album is really long. Y'all know Chris Brown be making them long albums. But I really liked it. So much that I still listen to it like it's... I let the whole thing play. And you know what? He did good with this one because it feels shorter than it is. Because each song is like under 3 minutes almost. So like it feels like it's a shorter album than it is because each song is in like 4 minutes. So yeah, listen to Stutter. I love Stutter. Listen to the whole album. Start to finish. Every song is really good. So big up. That's the thing. Big up to Chris Brown. He had a longer album than Usher, and I feel like Usher's album feels longer. I don't know why. But Chris Brown album goes by like that, and he got like 20, almost 20-something songs on it. Yeah, or over 20-something songs. So, there's that. What else could I talk about? If you're still here listening to me, you could follow me on my Everything and Nothing page, on my... I'd rather you follow me on X, if you're still on X. Everything in Nothing, I think it's called. Because I couldn't put it all together, it's too long. But I want to say Everything in Nothing. Hold on. It's Everything and In. Yeah, Everything and In. You can follow me on there. I want to start putting more stuff on there. Once I start, you know, putting more on here, rather. So, yeah, you can find me over there. And we can talk or whatever. Okay. Or tweet or whatever. Or X, whatever you want to call them. I don't know. So, yeah, that's that. I'm trying to think what else I can add. This is very random. I don't think anybody who's going to listen to this will listen to this that's this long. It's been a while since I made one this long. But if you're still here, thank you for at least giving me a shout. Giving me a try. I'm shouting y'all out. How about that? Giving me a shout. I'm giving y'all a shout. So, yeah. I think I want to end it here. Because I can just keep talking. And I'm not going to do that. Let's split some stuff up. Alright. So y'all go listen to some music. If you're into that music that I just named. And if not, tell me what you're into. Over on my X. I can't say X. Over on my Everything and Nothing. But Everything and In. Tell me what some of the albums and songs you're all looking forward to this year. And that you already been listening to this year. How about it? All right, be kind to yourselves. I'm gonna go. I will talk to y'all later.